Welcome to the Ferris Love Podcast. Here we explore spiritual insights and practical strategies to help you cultivate a family life rooted in beautiful, self-giving love. Join us as we invite experts to share uplifting perspectives and actionable advice for navigating the joys and challenges of modern family dynamics. Welcome back to the podcast. Today on the show, we are joined by Sister Mary Dominic of the Dominican Sisters of Mary, Mother of the Eucharist. As a member of a community deeply rooted in prayer, teaching, and joyful witness, Sister brings a beautiful perspective on living out virtues in everyday life. In this episode, we're focusing on gratitude as a deep expression of our identity as children of God. Sister will share with us how we can cultivate gratitude in the ordinary and how it also draws us closer to the heart of the Father. So, Sister, thank you so much for being on the show today.
Thank you so much for having me, Mary Grace.
So we'd love to kind of get to know you a little bit. If you could share with us maybe just a little bit about your story, how you kind of came to join the order that you're in, and just just a little bit about yourself.
Sure, absolutely. So I grew up in the wonderful state of Minnesota. I grew up in a beautiful Catholic family, and that was a great just foundation for me. I'm the oldest in my family, and I grew up really admiring my mother. And I saw how happy she was in her vocation as a wife and a mother. And that really made a big impact on me. So when I imagined my future, I imagined it just like my mom. Seeing that not everything was easy in marriage, but that it was beautiful and it was hard, but it was worth it. And really just that example of self-giving love that my parents had in their marriage made such an impact on me. So in envisioning my own life, I thought, I'm going to get married and have children and, just this beautiful life. And so when the idea of a religious life was first proposed to me, it actually was so repulsive to me, actually, because I thought, how could I possibly be happy? You know, how could I be fulfilled without giving myself in this way as a wife and a mother? Because my idea of religious life was sisters are this group of women who do good things for the church, do good things for people. But I didn't understand how that could fulfill a person. And it wasn't until I went to college and I learned that a sister is not just a glorified social worker. She is a bride of Christ and a spiritual mother. And that realization was so heart-opening and mind-opening for me, because I realized that those desires that I had for marriage, for a spousal relationship, and for motherhood were going – Jesus wanted to fulfill them, right? He would just wanted to fulfill them in a way I never could have imagined or dreamed for myself. And so when I understood that that's what a religious woman is, I was head over heels. I was so excited that this would be something that Jesus would call me to. So I met our community soon after kind of having this realization, and the Holy Spirit just really put all the pieces into place, and I entered our community after my sophomore year of college. So I entered, and I can't even tell you, it's just such a grace to belong totally to Jesus as his bride, and to bring his heart to wherever I am, because I'm dwelling in his heart. So I made my first vows in 2016 and my final vows in 2021. So since then, I've taught in various places. Currently, I'm teaching fourth grade and just bringing Christ to my sisters, but then also to the children that I teach.
Oh, that's excellent. Oh, I'm sure you're a great teacher.
Thank you. It's the end of May right now. So,
I know. We are blessed that you're on this show. I know how crazy that can be with the end of the school year.
Yeah, it's great. Yeah. It's great.
Yeah. So I love this. I love your story. Thank you for sharing and just kind of being open to that. I'm sure there's a lot of moments in your life where you have felt a lot of gratitude, which is what we're going to discuss today. So
yeah, absolutely.
Can you share with us some simple ways that, you know, that you can think of at the top of your head right now for those of our families that are listening that can cultivate gratitude in the midst of our ordinary routines? And actually, let's backtrack for a second. Can you explain just like
a true sense of the word gratitude. You know, I think we think automatically, oh, thank you. You know, that's gratitude. Mm-hmm. But is it more than that?
It is. It really is. And I love how you mentioned in the intro this idea of gratitude being connected to our identity as beloved sons and daughters of God. Because the fact of the matter is that we do not deserve this great grace that we've been given. It's just been poured out to us. There's a line in The Exalted that talks about I'm not going to remember it off the top of my head now, but the Exalted says, oh, the wonder of your humble care for us, that to set free a slave, you would give away your son, right? Mm-hmm. That like God, our Father has this incredibly tender and overwhelming love for each one of us. And so when we understand that identity and we live from that identity, that's where gratitude comes in so naturally, or it can come in so naturally, right? If we're just like trying to force ourselves to be more grateful, to say, oh, you should be grateful for the things that you've been given, which is so true. But if you don't understand that primary identity of who you are and what you are as a child of God, gratitude is inauthentic. It's not deep seated in the heart. I remember when I was teaching seventh grade, I was teaching religion to seventh graders, and we were talking about how God doesn't need anything or anyone. He's sufficient in himself. And I remember saying to them, now think about this, like you don't have to exist. God didn't have to make you. And they were kind of offended by that at first. And I said, okay, before you're offended, hear me out. Like, God doesn't need you, and you are here. You exist. That means that God doesn't need you. God wants you, right? God thought you were a good idea, that the world was better with you than without you. All the mess that you make, all the mess that you are, God thinks that it's better that you exist than that you don't, right? And so starting even before baptism, just the fact of our existence, right? Like even starting with that is so foundational, and living from that can make gratitude so just a natural overflow of the heart, because you understand that, yes, I don't deserve it, but I have it. Right. I don't deserve this gift, but I have it. And that kind of can easily overflow to the rest of everyday life. Mm, yeah.
That's beautiful. Oh, excellent. Yeah. So starting with that idea that we are, you know, children of God. And when we're thinking of gratitude, I know that a lot of times, especially with some, you know, families and nowadays, it's hard to kind of practice gratitude when we're kind of bombarded with just, you know, difficulties, challenges, mm-hmm. Contradictions, things like that. Mm-hmm. How have you learned to practice, you know, that gratitude in the midst of either experiences that you've handled, or how would you suggest families go about doing that?
Sure. I would say that gratitude doesn't always feel good, and that's okay. You know, like it's okay to have the difficulties, to have the sufferings, to have the conflicted feelings, whatever it is. Like those experiences don't necessarily mean that you're not grateful, and it's okay for things to not feel good, you know, in the moment, and to realize that that even this suffering, even this difficulty can be part of his plan for me. And it is part of his plan for me. And I can be grateful for it, even though it's bittersweet, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, that's just part of our identity in baptism, is that we have been crucified with Christ, right? And risen with him too. But there is the cross in the Christian life. And really, you know, when I think back over my own life, some of the greatest growth that's happened in me is through the things that I least wanted to happen, mm-hmm. right? Like even in my initial acceptance of my religious vocation, right? Mm-hmm. Like being open to God revealing the truth of religious life to me through other people, obviously, but being open to that revelation and not shutting that door, like always keeping that door open to grace, keeping that door open to God. I would say the other thing that really helps is the language of gift is calling things a gift and thinking of them as a gift. I was really struck by this with my students, with my fourth graders this year. I use that word all the time. Like I'll say, oh, Jesus just gave us the best gift when we got to go out for extra recess, you know, or whatever it is. And I start to hear my students use that phrase back to me or to each other of, you know, talking about things as a gift. And it's like really little things, you know, like the extra recess or the fact that like you flipped your water bottle and it landed the right way. Like, you know, it's like just these really silly seeming unimportant things, but those little things kind of like build up this arsenal of gratitude in our hearts. And it's really like these confirmations of our Father's love for us. Right. Like I had some leftover granola bars that I was going to give to my students as a little surprise one morning. And I looked in the box and I thought, I don't know if I have enough. And I was going to dump them all out and count them. And I thought to myself, no, actually, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to just pass them out and I'm going to let my Father provide for me. And there were exactly enough granola bars for me to put one on each of their desks. And maybe there were enough in the box to begin with. Maybe I had just enough. Maybe God made a miracle for me and multiplied my granola bars. I have no idea, but I left the space for my Father to provide for me. And that gave me the opportunity to give gratitude and then also to welcome my students into that too and say, guess what? I didn't know if I had enough granola bars and I did, you know, and that increases their faith as well. So like giving God the space to work, which is really hard because our world is so about planning and making sure that everything is set and ready to go. We love to control things. And so being able to let go of some of that control, even in those everyday little things, can help invite, it just gives God the room to work.
Yeah. Oh, beautiful. I want to ask, can I ask about your class, you know, about your students and all that, and how do you as a teacher incorporate, how as a teacher do you help them understand their identity as children of God at that age, you know, at that young age? What are some things that you do for them?
Or I would say, Mary Grace, it's very natural for them at that age. If they know that truth, it doesn't take much convincing. You know, it's as we go through life and we have these experiences in life that kind of harden our hearts to God that we find it hard to believe that we're that loved. You know, and so 9 and 10 year olds, they're still rather innocent. They still find that pretty easy to believe. It's actually the last thing that I say to them as they head out the door. They hold out their hand and I put holy water in their hand and I say their name and I say, you are a beloved daughter of God, or you are a beloved son of God. And they respond, amen. I believe that, right? And so even just that daily practice of declaring that truth over them and them receiving those words of blessing of identity every day, that makes an impact on their heart. And I would love to say that totally eliminates all problems and everybody lives as saints, and that's just not true, because this is the veil of tears and we're all, you know, growing and struggling. But speaking it out loud, and parents can do that too at home with their children, you know, praying with your children every night and declaring that blessing over them is so powerful, because it helps them to understand, the children to understand, that it's not just my parents who love me, right? Their love is limited. Mom and dad get frustrated with me, right? That happens. They're human. But I actually have a Father in heaven who loves me perfectly. Who's never frustrated with me. Mm-hmm. He always is loving me and helping them to live from that. And you have to be specific. You have to be intentional about it, because sometimes we think kids pick up on things, and we need to be very direct and let them know that this is who you are, you know, especially when they're going through difficulties. You know, when I have students who are going through friendship difficulties, that seems to happen with girls in around fourth and fifth grade, and you know, parent, you know, I'll be talking with parents, and I'll say, like, let them know that you are known and loved by God. You are known and loved by me. You know, I'm here to support you or whatever. However, but like always direct them back to the heart of the Father, right? Because that love, that compassion that you want to give as a parent or me as a teacher, we're so limited. We actually don't have enough to give them. Only God the Father does. And so letting them, yeah, I mean, we actually do have to be really intentional and explicit with them when we're praying with them and when we're speaking with them, with our children.
Mm-hmm. I love how you mentioned just even in difficult times too, because I think in the midst of difficult times, like we mentioned a little earlier, just about it's hard to be grateful for everything when you're in the midst of all this challenge and struggle and stuff. And so even teaching that to your children at such, you know, when they're so young, when they're so impressionable and innocent, like you mentioned, just having them know that they are loved infinitely, you know, by God, probably helps them be grateful for, okay, maybe this is a cross right now, but I can have to find some gratitude in it a little bit.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And not forcing yourself to be, to have the emotion that you think you ought to have with being grateful. I think is important too, because sometimes you are just sorrowful in this suffering, and that's okay, you know, and to allow God into that space rather than trying to like strong arm ourselves into a place of, perfection, right? It's really kind of this sense of control of like, I ought to feel this way with this suffering at this moment. And if I don't, something's wrong with me, right? And so allowing God the Father to be tender with us, to allow him into that space and to say, Father, I actually don't feel grateful for this cross right now. I know that you love me, but that's not how I feel right now. And willing, being willing to be open and honest with God rather than trying to kind of put our best face forward with him. You know, he knows us and he loves us and we don't need to impress him.
Mm-hmm. And I think all these things are excellent for parents to take too in regards to their own relationship. Because like you said, kids are they're very innocent. They have somewhat of an easier sense of understanding their childlike, you know, piety and all that stuff. But I'm curious if you have any, you know, recommendations for parents or for adults who struggle with that understanding that they are truly so loved by God, and that they are just, you know, infinitely loved just as much as the child is. It's just harder for adults to kind of see that, like you said, because we're wounded, because we're, you know, we have all those things. So I'm curious what your thoughts are to help in embracing that identity.
Yeah, absolutely. I would say one of the things that's most healing is reading scripture, you know, reading the gospels and seeing how tender Jesus was with the people that he encountered. Obviously he was firm when he needed to be, but like Jesus in his humanity reveals the face of the Father. So anything that Jesus is doing, like that's his whole mission, is to reveal the Father to us, right? Yes, he comes to save us from our sins, but he is here to reveal the Father to us, because that's our initial wound with original sin, is that Adam and Eve, the catechism says, they let trust for their creator die in their hearts. And so what Jesus comes is he comes to restore that trust. And that this restoring that trust doesn't happen by magic, and it doesn't happen just through the sacrament of baptism. It comes through the sacramental living. So I would say knowing Jesus, especially through the scriptures, Eucharistic adoration goes hand in hand with that. Knowing Jesus through his word, but then also knowing him in his physical presence in the Blessed Sacrament is so transformative for anyone. You know, my students, we start going once a week to adoration for maybe 7 minutes, right, is about what we can handle. And by this time of the year, end of the school year, we stayed for 30 minutes the other day. And they, because they've learned how to listen for the voice of the shepherd, they know how to hear his voice and just be with him. It's not that they're necessarily having this extensive conversation in words with God, but they're learning how to rest in him. And we have to learn how to do that. We have to learn how to rest with him. If we want to be at peace with ourselves, we have to learn how to have that silence and how to rest with him. Also, I mean, frequenting the sacraments, Holy Mass, right? Receiving him in Holy Communion. Gosh, we just have everything we need to be holy, not only to be holy, but to be totally healed. He gives us everything we need. And then with that, the sacrament of confession, to go often and to prepare well for that, not just as like a checklist of how have I erred, but like, where have I surrendered my dignity as a daughter of God? Where have I acted or failed to act in ways that I should have or should not have according to the person that I am, my identity as his beloved.
Mm, I love that. Wow. That's powerful. How have I surrendered? Yeah, my dignity. That's so beautiful. What has been kind of one practice for you that has helped in the cultivation of your own gratitude?
You know, one thing that's helpful is to actually write it down. Mm-hmm. I have a gratitude journal where I write down, maybe not every day. It would be good if I did it every day, but to write down every once in a while, just something that I'm grateful for. You know, thinking back over my day, you know, it's always good to do an examination of conscience before you go to bed. And again, with that, it's like going over, what are the gifts that God gave me today? I'll even do that with my students at the end of the day, or end of the day prayer. I'll say, think back over your day. What are the three best gifts Jesus gave you today? And then just say, thank you, Jesus, for each one of those. Mm-hmm. You know, but for adults even, and for children too, it's helpful to just write those down so that you can go back in those times of dryness and difficulty and say, actually, this is how God has provided for me. This is how he's blessed me repeatedly over and over. And I have physical proof. I have evidence that he cares for me, and it's not just this good memory that I have.
Excellent. Very practical.
Yeah.
Right. And
it doesn't take long either.
Yeah, no. Yeah, you could do it for like a minute or something like that.
Oh yeah.
That's awesome. Thank you. You're a part of this amazing order. Do you want to tell us a little bit about it and then where we can find you? I know you're featured on some YouTube videos, which are super fun. And just, do you want to share with us a little bit about all of that?
Yes, absolutely. So we are the Dominican Sisters of Mary, Mother of the Eucharist. Our mother house is in Ann Arbor, Michigan. We were founded in 1997. So we currently have around 140 sisters, and we teach in schools across the United States from preschool to university level. And our sisters also participate in the new evangelization through an apostolic called Open Light Media, which is where you've seen the videos on YouTube. So our sisters have created a lot of different videos specifically about virtue. That's one thing that we're very passionate about as Dominicans. There's a great tradition of virtue in the in Dominican spirituality, specifically, thank you to St. Thomas Aquinas, his exposition of the virtues. So that's huge to how we educate as Dominicans. And so we've sought to make that available to the wider world. So if parents are interested, our Education in Virtue program is excellent for helping form virtue, not just gratitude, but at all the virtues in your children. And it's very practical. I mean, like, it's like, this virtue looks like this and sounds like this, and it has it for all the age groups, you know, to like make virtue something that's doable, that's something that's pleasurable, really, to grow in virtue. And so that's a big part of what we do, what we bring to the classroom, but also what we seek to bring to the wider world through Open Light Media. So people can definitely check that out. We have a website for the community, but then there's also a website for Open Light Media if people are interested in that.
Yes, I'm sure they will be. Well, and we'll definitely link those into the show notes as well. So thank you so much for sharing with us your beautiful words and your story and everything. And I think our audience will definitely have taken a lot of what you said and hopefully like kind of cultivate that in their own hearts, especially in regards to our identity as children of God, in the process of, you know, building up our gratitude for the day-to-day and everything. So thank you so much, Sister Mary Dominic, for being on our show.
You're so welcome, Mary Grace. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Ferris Love Podcast. In 2025, we are continuing to share the beautiful devotion to Mary, Mother of Ferris Love, while providing practical tools and advice for parents, couples, and families. You can help us with this mission by sharing this episode with a friend, subscribing to the podcast, or leaving a review. To learn more, visit us at ferrislovefamilyproject.org.